Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to those of you who are joining us. My name is Mike Richmond. I'm the co-executive producer of the Live from the West Side live stream series. We are in the approaching the third and final show of our Women of Broadway series, which takes place a week from Saturday, December 5th. And as you probably are aware, the proceeds from these concerts, which are being distributed by nonprofit performing arts organizations all over the country, are benefiting nonprofits whose businesses have been dramatically interrupted by the global pandemic. So tickets are available through each of the participating nonprofits around the country and also through livefromthewestside.com on a national basis. And we have Ms. Williams for about 45 minutes. And for those of you who are able to record, you're welcome to. If not, we'll be recording this event and distributing it afterwards. So you'll have it in your hands about 20 minutes after we finish. And so without further delay, please welcome the one and only Miss Vanessa Williams. Hi, Vanessa.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Good?
Great, thank you.
So Vanessa, do you have anything you want to say about your pandemic experience so far? Anything as a word of introduction, or should we just throw it straight to questions?
Well, it's great to be able to perform. Actually, this is my third time I've been able to perform during the pandemic. I did the 4th of July Capitol 4th. Then I went back to DC to open the Kennedy Center with Renee Fleming. And then I also did a Christmas concert, which was a tribute to Ella Fitzgerald and her swinging Christmas record, which will be out on PBS later on in December. So I've actually been lucky to be one of the lucky ones to perform with live musicians and live people. Of course, there is precautions, and I think I took about 7 tests when I was down at the Kennedy Center. They did the Cleveland Clinic protocol, so everything was really off, thorough. But it's wonderful to be able to sing, and I know Patty, and I know Laura, and it's a great series to be a part of. When I do my show on the 5th, I will be, of course, doing some of my Broadway hits, which have to do with Stephen Sondheim. Worked with him twice in Into the Woods and Sondheim and Sondheim. I couldn't squeeze in anything from Kiss of the Spider Woman because that's really a huge orchestral score and doesn't really translate to I-6, which is our tops that we'll be able to have on stage with us. Because of protocol, because of having to be distance, I don't have my full band, but I will have a background singer, Shelley Thomas, who's a Broadway gal herself, and she's been touring with me forever. And Rob Mathis is my musical director, so we'll be doing some Broadway stuff and some pop stuff, which of course Save the Best for Last and Colors of the Wind from Pocahontas, and then we'll squeeze in one, maybe two holiday favorites from my two Christmas albums out that have been out since 1996 was my first one. And then we're going to have opportunity to do a Q&A while we're live. So I don't know exactly how whether we're doing it in between songs. I don't know what the format is yet, but I know that it will be interactive and that all the participating theaters are really fantastic, and I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, Vanessa, I want to say hi. I'm Melissa Paul. I'm from K2B here in Boise, and we have a community here that has a deep passion for the arts, and not having those in-person performances has just been such a huge part of our quality of life that's suffered because of the pandemic. And these virtual opportunities have been just so crucial to finding a little bit of that happiness, that silver lining, right? I'm curious to know why, as an artist, you found it important to do these performances and why you think it's important for patrons to also be a part of it as well.
Well, I've been lucky to grow up. Both my parents are music educators, so the arts was part of my being. And in terms of arts education, but also it's my livelihood. And what is the most rewarding for me is to move people. And a lot of people have been moved in many different ways during this pandemic. Ups and downs, the lows and highs have been tremendous. But the common denominator that makes everyone unite and feel great is music. So I'm happy to be able to bring my artistry to people, to maybe be a distraction from the mayhem that has been 2020.
Yes.
And just do what I love to do.
And really quick too, is there anything that you found to be enjoyable about doing these virtual performances? I mean, I know as an artist, you probably really thrive on that energy of being in person and feeding off of those that you're performing for, but has there been a silver lining being able to do this virtually or live streaming?
The silver lining is getting a chance to do it. I mean, as a Broadway actress, a lot of people do not have the opportunity to even be on stage. So it is an honor for me to be able to not only be on stage and perform, but have a format where I can not only reach the audience that is in a close a theater, but a broader audience as well.
Yeah. And then also it's really awesome that people can actually kind of interact with you, engage in these questions, which is exciting. Is there a certain experience that you're hoping people get through that?
I hope people will get to know me and my musicians that have traveled with me for, geez, over 25 years now, and ask questions about the songs and how they came to be and what are my favorites, and be able to get to know me as a person as well.
Which in itself is a very unique experience, something that people may not have really had that opportunity before. So I think that's something we can all be thankful for, right?
Absolutely. It's you know, it's a time where, especially right now, the Thanksgiving week, to be thankful for our family and health, even though, again, there's been some tremendous highs and lows, the fact that we're still here is a lot to be thankful for.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and step down in case somebody else has some questions for you. Thank you so much, Vanessa. Really appreciate it.
Have a great holiday.
You too.
Hey, Vanessa, this is Paul Milliken with Good Day Atlanta. Hope you're well. It's good to see you. I wanted to talk to you for a minute about Broadway. You mentioned before you'll be incorporating a lot of your Broadway songs into your show. But, you know, you've been on Broadway a few times before. You certainly have a lot of friends who are actively on Broadway. What are your thoughts on the fact that Broadway's been shut down for so long?
Well, I was in the West End about to open in in a major show, City of Angels. We were at the Garrick Theater. We were 1 week away from opening, and that was going to be my West End debut, and Broadway closed down the week before. Mm-hmm. And we heard tricklings of people are getting sick, and a lot of people that were friends of mine were canceling their flights over to come and see the show. So we knew that it was imminent, but we hung out like for a week after to have the show close and then to return home, and then to have everything shut down was tremendous. It yeah. was certainly felt like the rug was pulled from under us, but it's our livelihood. I mean, you budget what you're going to do for the next, if the show runs 9 months or a year, that's part of your income. So a lot of people that, not only that I know, but in theater at large, have really a difficult time in this time. And I've been one of the lucky things, out of some tragedy, has been able to be one of the founders of Black Theater United. which we mentioned my friends on Broadway, but Audra McDonald, Claude LaChance, Brian Sokes Mitchell, Norm Lewis, Darius DeHaas, we all basically galvanized on the heels of George Floyd, because that was really kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, and we needed to do something. So a group of us started Black Theatre United, which also include, you know, Kenny Leon is a director, Karen Ford, who's a sound engineer, Lisa Dawn Cave, who's one of the preeminent stage managers on Broadway. And we are working towards diversity, not only on Broadway, but across the Lort theaters and across the country, and not only on stage and programming, but behind the stage, and not just ushers, but staffing and artistic directors. And we're making headway, which has been fascinating. And also we've been able to highlight, you know, Fair Fight and Fair Count for census and for voter registration. So out of our, I guess, being idle on Broadway and not being able to work, we've been able to really galvanize and make change. And that's been the most proud, I think, thing that has come out of this.
And then so as things open up again and we start to see theater returning, hopefully, fingers crossed, early next year, do you think we'll pretty quickly see the effects of this work that you've been doing?
We're seeing it now. We're seeing the effects now. Thankfully, I'm on a board of one of the major Lort theaters, and we have absolutely seen hiring that has been working. And, you know, these actionable items have been listened to. Black Theatre United has hosted summits, and we've talked about people not even being aware that there's been discrimination or retaliatory acts if someone is a whistleblower because they feel like they've been discriminated against. So there's a lot of levels and a lot of different issues, but we're in the thick of it and we're here to stay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Vanessa. My name is Mackenzie O'Keefe. I'm from CBS4 in Denver. I think one of the neat things about this is that maybe people who couldn't go to the theater or be a part of these concerts now have the opportunity to through live stream. What is it like to be a part of something that's kind of a broader outreach in a different way?
It's wonderful, because normally it's a private little performance within your theater. So that's the intimate thing that's wonderful, and every performance is different and every audience is different. So you get that energy. Now that we'll just have me with my band on stage, it'll be different because we'll be singing to an empty house. But the fact that we have this Q&A incorporated into the evening will allow the audience to see it virtually, but also be involved in the night. So I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, it's been a tremendous success with Patti LuPone and with Laura Benanti. And, you know, I texted back and forth with Laura after she finished her show, and she loved it. So it's a wonderful opportunity to not only make it an intimate evening, but one that will be much broader in terms of the visuals.
Great. And I'm wondering, what do you, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but with how tough everything's been, what do you hope people take away from this? What do you hope is the biggest message that you can portray through this?
The message is one of unity and commonality. I mean, we all are touched when I sing The Sweetest Days. That was written for my children. I have four children. So no matter what's happening, you can relate to having a family and remembering how wonderful and intimate those beautiful days were when they were children, and how you want to hang on to them. So I think there are intimate themes that people can relate to, not only with my own music, my pop music, but also with some holiday music as well.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, Vanessa. This is Lisa Sheps with Co-op Radio and Offstage on the Air in the great city of Austin, Texas. How are ya?
There you go. How are ya?
I have a quick question. We talk a lot about theater. First of all, before I get to that, I want to thank you for your work on Black Theaters United. There's so many changes going on with you. We see you, White American Theater, and all the things that are going, and the changes are so needed, and I'm really happy that you're stepping up and talking and doing the work you do. So, on a whole nother note, you have done so many different things in your life. When this thing is all over and when we're ready to sit back in a theater with our friends and watch theater, are you looking towards directing something on Broadway, perhaps, or producing something on Broadway?
Well, when this is all over, I'll probably return back to London and we'll do City of Angels properly and get it opened and have a nice run. So that's what I'm immediately looking forward to. Directing, I would have to, I'd have to really shadow someone who I really, really admire. One of my good friends is James Lapine, who's one of my favorite people in the world. So if I were going to shadow anyone, I would call James and say, hey, teach me your tricks. Let me follow your lead. But at this point, I'm actually, I have more television and film production in the works than theater.
Well, we're anxious to see you back on Broadway.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Vanessa. My name is Sharon Everson. I'm from Pittsburgh, land of August Wilson and Billy Porter, who I know has been working on Black United with you. Anyway, great talent. So these concerts are for these nonprofit theaters. A lot of people know Broadway is suffering, but all of our cities are suffering greatly. And what does that mean to you? And is there an experience you've had in a city, you know, maybe when you were having trouble breaking into Broadway, because I know you've talked recently about that too. What are these theaters, these large theaters that bring Broadway to the masses really mean to you?
Well, it's been lovely to be able to, I mentioned that I have done these summits with the Lord Theaters nationwide. And we talked about programming. We talked about giving back to the community, utilizing the community and having a mentorship program for people that the theaters are actually in the neighborhood. So there's a lot of great ideas and dreams that we can actually help to change and make theater better, I think, across the United States. But yes, it has taken a toll when there is no money coming in and running a theater, you're always, which I know, always asking for sponsorships and donors. And I understand the pressure that running a theater entails, the board and asks. And I'm on the board of the Sheen Center, which is a cultural art center for in Manhattan. And I know what it's like to perform there, but I also know what it's like to be on the board and trying to look for partners. So it's a really difficult time. And it's wonderful that I've been able to do, I did a play reading for the Actors Fund with John Malkovich and Morgan Freeman and Zachary Quinto and, you know, Elizabeth Ashley. So I've been able to do fun things that I'm sitting at home. I've got my Zoom, I've got my ring light, and we've got the script, and we can actually continue to be creative, but also it gives back to the community that's struggling. So we do the best that we can with the means that we're given. And we hope that once this is all finished and we get back to performing live in front of audiences, people will continue to support the arts, because that's what it's all about. Not only for our livelihoods as creatives, but also to bring joy and meaning and make change through the arts.
Just one more question. I know your parents were arts educators, but as a young person, was there an experience in a theater where you said, aha, I have to be there. I have to be on stage and do that?
Oh, so many. But I think when I went to see The Wiz with Stephanie Mills and I was sitting in the first row of the mezzanine and I saw her sing, and she was similar age. I was probably in middle school and she was, you know, a couple of years older. And, you know, I lived in Westchester County, so it was a train ride away, or you drive in, you park your car, you go to the theater, you have a bite to eat, you go home. That's when I knew, like, oh my gosh, I could do this. This is a tangible goal for me. And it was electric. And I thank my parents for always exposing me to theater and the ballet and Alvin Ailey and the opera, you know, all the wonderful things that were also going to all their concerts, their holiday concerts. Both of them were in music educators. So I had many, many concerts to sift through as well, but it made me appreciate the magic of the arts. And I am that person because of my parents.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Tanae Kroom, EURweb.com. I had a quick question, wanted to revisit when you were talking about the Black Theater United. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about how that is personally making you feel, because you have been able to deftly deal with things in a personal way when you're in your career. How does that make you feel, again, in a personal way, able to maneuver through things on Broadway with other actors with diversity? Can you speak to that for a moment, please?
Well, the so Black Theater United is recently developed in June. And what makes it so rewarding is that we have a forum. We recently had a salon with other younger, we consider ourselves the elders because we're all 40, 50 plus, and but have been in the industry for, you know, 30 years or so. So we have wisdom. But it was wonderful to open up the floor to younger Black performers in on Broadway who have struggles and have stories that we haven't heard. So it's great to be a mentor. It's great to be a place of almost like a safe haven to really talk about fears. Again, I mentioned retaliatory efforts. I mean, some people are afraid that if they speak out, they won't have a job. That's a real thing. And if they get too, not, I don't want to say too rebellious, but if they are too much of an advocate, then people won't hire them. That's a reality as a person of color on Broadway. So that's one of the things that no one talks about, but that we're dealing with as a foundation, to help people be brave, know that they're supported, and know that we're not accepting any retaliatory actions from somebody who will hold you accountable for speaking up about some injustice. So it's really fascinating. It's very layered, but it's also, we're making headway, and it makes me so proud to, again, be an elder, because we have been around for years, and a lot of these youngins. Are just hearing and feeling their voices. So it's great to be a place that they can actually see actionable items take place.
Real quick follow-up on that, because does that make you personally feel good? Because there was a time when I remember when people were protesting. My brother was vehemently out there in New York City protesting for you when there were people, as they say back in the South, against you because of certain things. How does that make you feel, like a bright light inside of you now that you are able to say, hey, y'all, I got your back. I have got other people's back now.
You know, with history, there's wisdom. And that's the wonderful thing about being 57 years old and looking back at all I've achieved in my 57 years. So every knowledge, every experience I can bring to the table, and if it helps change people's lives, it makes me wonderful. It makes me feel great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Vanessa. This is Gilat Malamed from WKBW in Buffalo. Thanks so much for joining us today. Buffalo is, of course, a city that you have some close ties to. So I was hoping you could touch on how special and significant it is, or what it means for you to have some of the money benefiting Shays Theater. And additionally, if you've ever been to Shays or were able to experience a show there.
I have not been to Shays, although I've seen it many times in advertisements, and we were talking about doing something there. I've worked with the Buffalo Phil a few times and also had performances in and around Buffalo. So I know how welcoming the Buffalo area is for arts, which is fantastic. And I look forward to having it all return to live theater and having people back in the seats to see, you know, some real artistry back again. You know, I can't stress enough the fact that the arts are begging to come back. And after we have, you know, after this is all settled, it'll be wonderful to be able to have people enjoy real music, live music, seeing shows come back in town, and bringing that commonality of enjoying live theater again.
Hi, I'm Aaliyah, Aaliyah Covell, and I write for Tap Into SOMA, which covers South Orange and Maplewood, New Jersey. And I was just wondering about your creative process. How do you go about setting up your set list for this? Do you start with a theme and fill it in, or do you start with songs you love or something different?
Well, first I find out how long I have. So if it's 45 minutes, then I know that if there are nine songs and I got to speak quickly. It depends on what the length of time determines a set list. And then I think about the audience. And again, since this is a musical theater based community, I do have, when I do my normal 90 minute show, I do have some jazz stuff, I have some pop stuff, some R&B stuff, and then I do have a Broadway section. So I will be doing a majority of the Broadway section for the show. But of course, you know, if I'll ask my musical director, can we squeeze it in? Well, you have to do Save the Best for Last, and you'll have to do Colors of the Wind. So depending on how much I talk, it depends on how many songs I can squeeze into the time allotted. But I've been lucky, you know, to have a song that was number one for 8 weeks in a row, you know, which is Save the Best for Last. That's one of those career highlights that is really unusual. So of course, you know, I will end the show with Save the Best for Last and probably finish after that with a wonderful holiday song that everyone can sing along and feel warm and fuzzy about. But I get a chance to, when I do my Broadway stuff, I talk about my experiences, you know, working with Stephen Sondheim and working with James Lapine and doing Into the Woods and talking about my family and being on Broadway. So I think it'll be just enough to hit all the boxes.
Hey, Vanessa, this is Melissa Ruggieri at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We actually spoke just about a year ago, and you were coming to town for the ASO 75th anniversary to perform. And yeah. You mentioned at the time that you had just finished doing a reading of Cherie. And I'm just curious where that stands. Obviously, everything's on hold, but once life resumes, is that something that's still in the works?
Well, interestingly enough, I was on the West End doing City of Angels and rehearsals for that. And I got a call saying that they were trying to do a production of Cherie in Antonio Banderas actually wanted to do he's got a theater in Malaga, Spain. So one of the ideas was to actually workshop it in Spain and then bring it to the States. So again, everything halted. I have no idea what's going on, but that was the latest iteration of it, which was really interesting. And again, you know, having Antonio Banderas added to the mix and having it out of town. I mean, usually out of town is Pittsburgh or, you know, Chicago. We're talking Malaga, Spain. That was kind of tasty as well.
Yeah, that would be fun. And I have one other quick question for you. So you talked a lot about what you've been able to do work-wise during the pandemic, but I'm curious, what have you been doing just personally? I mean, have you had some downtime for yourself that, you know, life has the benefit of this for a lot of people is that they've had some time that they normally wouldn't have because of, you know, a lot of traveling and everything else. So how have you been spending some time?
I've been at home. My mom lives next door, which has been great. So we've been, you know, we've got a little pod together with my family and my mom up on the hill. And you know, doing stuff around the house and kind of purging, just finally having opportunity to get rid of stuff, sort through things, which really kind of helps my mind as well. So it's been, you know, it's been nice not having to get on a plane to go to a gig, but I do miss the gigs. I do miss the live audiences and the shows and the adrenaline. You know, I'm lucky enough that I've been able to, I had a children's book that came out that I've been able to promote. I've done play readings, two of them virtually, which has been fantastic. So it still allowed me to do my acting, but also we got a chance to do it virtually as well. And also concerts, which have happened, you know, we've done all socially distanced. So I'm one of the lucky ones that got a chance to keep moving.
Hi, Vanessa. This is Rick Handler from Entertainment Central in Pittsburgh. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you. Been a longtime fan. And what especially interests me, too, is your music. And Dolly Parton just put out a new book called Storyteller, where she tells, I haven't read it, but I've, you know, seen and heard some things about it, where she talked about some of the stories behind her songs, like how Jolene came to be, and it was a fantastic story. Do you have any type of, you know, super interesting stories you'd like to share about, you know, a song or anything that comes to mind?
Well, probably the most famous song that I've done is Save the Best for Last. And when I was at a PolyGram at the time, and Ed Eckstein was the head of the label Wing, which I was on. And when he got the song from Phil Galson and Wendy Waldman and John Lind, it had already been passed on by Barbara Streisand and passed on by Ben Miller. So it's not considered a throwaway song, but, you know, I was really lucky enough to say, I'll do it. I hear it. And I know that I can do this. And it was a very simple demo with just a piano and Wendy singing. But the melody was one of those earworms that I couldn't get out of my head. And I didn't know it was going to be a spectacular hit, but I was like, this I know I could do, and I love the song. So thank God that Bette and Barbara Streisand passed on it, because it gave me the song of my lifetime.
Hi, Vanessa. Mr. G. Mr. G, Green Arrow Radio out of Madison, Wisconsin. Thankful that your show is going to be a part of the Overture Center coming up first week of December. Weird times indeed. I'm thinking about you. If you did get that follow-up off of Melissa a little bit, if you did get that 5 to 10 minutes of alone time where you close the door and you know ain't no one going to bother you, is there a song or a record that you'd be dropping the needle down on and sharing a moment of just Vanessa time with? You know, is there that song that you would escape into to just, this is now the moment of all moments?
Actually, it's been a time of discovery for me. So, because I have time to actually, you know, kind of discover new music. I'm a big fan of Tom Misch. He's a young English guitar player out of England. Love his stuff. Krumbing. Love their stuff, and I just watched their NPR their mini desk concert, and they're just three people and a female bass player and got a lead guitar player, and so I think I'm doing more exploring than my regular set list, which are my playlist, which I play all the time. But it's been great to kind of discover and branch out. But it also helps me. I'm working on a new album, so it helps me try to figure out, okay, what direction do I really want to go? Right now, we're thinking bossa nova because I live Brazilian music. It's definitely a part of me. And so right now, we're kind of collecting the songs that I'll probably do next on my BMG album.
Nice. Well, I want to thank you for always being an ally for equality, and it's clear that you don't forget the joys of the give back. And speaking of that, how is your band doing since you're going to finally get back with them? You know, how's the band doing?
The band's all doing well. Rob Mathis, who's my musical director, directed me and Renee Fleming at the Kennedy Center in September, which was wonderful to work together again. And we did the similar setup, basically piano, drums, guitar, bass, and then two singers. So that's exactly what we have to do for social distancing. But I can't wait to see my other band members. I bet. For Zoom and Instagram, because I feel like I'm all caught up.
I think it won't take too long to get right back on the same page. JT going to be kicking it behind you?
Yes, he will. JT's
indeed
doing well.
Indeed. Thank you for your time, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Hi, Vanessa. Michael Brogan from the CBS affiliate, also in Madison, Wisconsin. Speaking of allies, I wanted to chat with you a little about Vanquisha the House and how fabulous you were and how generous of you to donate that money to the Trevor Project. And you're a wonderful, wonderful, kind, caring person. And on behalf of our community, we really thank you. Can you tell me a little more about your experience on Drag Race?
Amen.
You know, it was just one of those wonderful opportunities. I've known Rue for years, so it was great. And I've been a judge for a couple of seasons. My daughter actually won. She did a competition called like Spawn of the Diva or something, and she was competing against Kelly Osbourne and Pia Zadora's daughter. And of course, Jillian won, which just made me very proud as a drag mom. But, you know, I was one of the lucky ones. I grew up in New York. My parents were so progressive and exposed me to so much that going into the arts again, you know, being an ally is just part of my being. My mother had gay friends that came to the house when I was young. So again, my father was very accepting and there was never any delineation. And of course, being a dancer and an actor, you're surrounded by diversity. So, you know, the fact that my daughter, who's 20, has grown up watching Drag Race and knows all the queens and her friends know all the queens and that it's part of the norm now is phenomenal. We've come so far that instead of having drag queens be a fringe element, they are part of Americana right now, which is fantastic.
Hi, Vanessa. Nicole Shiro. I'm with Co-op Radio. I co-host Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. You were speaking that you've been lucky to be able to work during this pandemic and do all these performances, and you just talked about it, reading. Has there been something that you've seen that's kind of exciting that you see change in the way we're looking at work and producing work and performing our work? Has there been something unique in this element?
Well, since we all are distance, everything's been on our phone. And I've seen some tremendous videos that have been a compilation of lining up your phone, downloading it and sending it to get edited and make an amazing video. We just, as Black Theater United, which is the group that we founded, did a song that we are going to be releasing in the beginning of the year. And it's called Say Their Names. And we all recorded it remotely. And we had to make sure that it was mixed properly because all the stems sounded different because people are in different rooms and different microphones and stuff. But what I've seen out of videos that have come from people making a group video are tremendous. And I think Brandy did one. Questlove has done another one. And it's amazing what you can do being separate, but really doing something really artistically cohesive. So we're in the process of doing that. But it's amazing what you can do with your phone, your iPad, your laptop as a group.
Thank you for doing that. And I should say my uncle taught with your father and worked with him on the board. And I've grown up knowing about Milt, 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 and never put two and two together until about 15 years ago. But he speaks highly, and I've heard just so many wonderful stories about your parents growing up. So
he was a great man. We miss him so much. But my mom's doing fine. She's 80, and she taught for almost 40 years, but I still have people that come up to me and say, I had your mom and dad as parent, as teachers, and they're really impactful. So it always makes me.
He's at the Jersey Shore now, and he's spoken about a lot. So thank you for that.
Oh, good, good, good. Good to hear.
Hi, Vanessa. My name is Kevin. I write for L&P, the newspaper in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Just to say, Crankman does rule, as you were just saying. I wanted to ask, because I just watched it last week, actually, Bad Hair on Hulu. I was curious, was it sort of, I don't know if bittersweet is the word, to have that come out, not necessarily get a theatrical release, like go right to streaming just because of the circumstances? I mean, I've seen that the response has been very positive, but I'm just curious for you.
I think the timing was perfect. It had just had a screening at Sundance in January, February, and it had done well. But then it was like, who's going to distribute it and who's going to buy it? So the pandemic actually was a perfect opportunity to have it set up. And we knew we had a place, and we had filmed Bad Hair about 2 years ago. So it was wonderful to actually have it out and have a home. Have it teed up for Halloween and the season of scary. but also the theme could not have been more appropriate. It's about diversity. It's about changing who you are naturally to fit into society and climbing the corporate ladder, but having hair that is not diverse and it doesn't, but you're conforming because you have to. And all those norms are being broken. The Crown Act, which just passed, was about hair discrimination. And that's a real thing. And that all came to light through something that was, yes, a horror film that came out in October on Hulu, but also so progressive and pertinent for what's happening now. So I think it was perfect time. And I think the fact that it's so accessible actually worked better for us.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm Vanessa Williams. My name's Alicia. I'm really excited to be here. I didn't know you were going to be attending. I'm a student journalist for the GAZ. So I have a question. The University of Pittsburgh, they put out a report last year. It's called the Inequality Across Race and Gender Report. It showed some really unfortunate outcomes for people of color in Pittsburgh, especially women of color. How do you think those disparities can be reflected in the arts community and then vice versa?
Well, thanks for the question. I think that there was, since everyone is, and I don't want to say woke, because we've heard that a zillion times, but since we have moved through such a tremendous time of change and action and awareness these past months, I think a lot of people weren't aware of the discrimination that people have had to go through of color in every aspect, and in particular in the arts. And they realize that it's not enough to have a Black usher in a theater. We want Black people that are on staff, that are artistic directors, that are producers and directors. We've done these amazing town halls, but also salons and workshops. And we've heard some horrible story about Black artistic directors that have been in their field and their positions for over 30 years and are still questioned about their abilities. They've done classics, they've done contemporary works, they've done musicals. So there really is a huge awakening that is being brought to light, and people are being held accountable. And that's the wonderful thing about all the change that has happened. Not only is it bringing to light what people didn't know, but now there are actionable items that people will be held accountable for.
So just want to say thank you. Thank you for being you. Soul Food's my favorite movie.
Thank you.
We've got a couple of minutes left. How about one or two more questions with Vanessa? Anyone?
Sure. Hey, Vanessa, it's Melissa again. Curious about working with Kenny Leon. You mentioned him earlier that he's part of the organization. What's that been like, getting to work with him on that?
Kenny's spectacular. And I had seen a few of his works. I recently saw him right before I went to London to do City of Angels. I saw the first preview of A Soldier's Play, which was spectacular and really, really a tremendous emotional, but also visual performance evening. So when I saw him right before I was leaving, he said, "When are we going to work together?" I was like, "Soon." And then we ended up being co-founders of Black Theater United. So I see him every Sunday on Zoom when we have our meetings. But, you know, he's a tremendous, tremendous talent. He just got a really great position at Roundabout Theater, which we're really excited about. I'm also on the board of that. So we're really seeing, and I've talked about diversity, we're seeing people take action, which has been really good. I mean, they're putting their money where their mouth is, but they're also taking action. They hear the call for diversity, and and there's no excuses. Well, I don't know where to find a Black scenic designer. Well, now there's no excuses. We do know the people, and we have an opportunity to make sure that the theater looks like the diversity that is around us in the United States. So Kenny is part of our team as a founder, and I'm really, really happy. I think he's working on a movie right now in Vancouver. So he's busy, but he's a tremendous talent, and I love calling him a friend right now.
Janae again. Hi. You had mentioned some other projects you were working on. Movies, I do believe you said. Can you share some of the movies and other projects that you that we can expect, looking really forward to seeing you in?
Well, they're in development, and there are a couple of properties that I'm looking to explore. One is about the International Sweethearts of Rhythm, which is a 1940s all-black swing band that traveled the world and were and had tremendous musicians that became famous. But it all came out of a boarding orphanage deep down in the South. So there's a script that I have, and we're working on getting that together. There's a Lena Horne project that I'm working on as well. So there's a lot of things in the till. And I mentioned that I had done a children's book called Bubble Kisses, and I'm working on expanding that as well, because again, it came out in the perfect time, because not only is it a great song with a great book that goes with it, but the imagery is of a beautiful girl of color with a big Afro puff, and the mermaids that she sings with at night under the sea when she goes with her goldfish named Sal are all different colors with different hair textures. And it's been wonderful to be able to have something that, again, there is no excuse. When I grew up, there were no black dolls. There were no people that looked like me in fairy tales and in my animated books. And now we have the opportunity, and I'm so happy I could bring my Bubble Kisses to the young kids right now.
That's great. We are out of time. Vanessa, thank you so very much for taking the time to meet with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, thanks, for Vanessa. Coming thanks, in to Mike. Cover. Happy Thanksgiving,
thank
all.
Thank you. Stay
we'll see
safe.
You on have a December great 5th.
Thanks, Vanessa.
All right. Take care.
Bye now.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.